Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Enough that I'm sure he'll be getting used to it by now. He's such a super driver, is Matt. Interesting, so great to hear from Zach Robichon there as well. I was asking him if he felt a bit strange not driving for his familiar FAF team, and he said he has been by the team truck to raid their catering, which of course has Canadian delights there as well. So great to see the atmosphere in the paddock as the number nine, Matt Campbell, gets going out of pit lane. And taking it very, very gingerly indeed, almost at walking pace through the first run through the International Horseshoe. Rose Michelin's taken a wee moment to get up the temperature.
Hello to Jerry, who's been listening all night, bundled up in the car, in and out of consciousness. I know exactly what you're talking about. And Wicker Bill saying, yeah, you used to be able to get discounts on Rolex Daytonas at authorised dealers. Now it's easier to enter a 24-hour race and win one. And Dave Alcock on the front-engine Ferrari said, I had the privilege of driving a 456M a few years ago. V12, exquisite, smooth, wonderful drive, even as an auto. Fell a bit in love with that car. Sorely underrated engine from Ferrari. That event I was talking about at Croft, I had a 456M in Le Mans Blue with a light-coloured interior to drive down to that event, so I had it for a couple of days, and you're right, it was lovely. Also got to drive an F50 on the track at that
get
event
out.
yeah, the owner threw me the keys. Can you believe it?
And thoughts?
I know, it was absolutely crackers. We were doing the launch of the 360. There was one 360 that was being shown, and the dealer group, which was, you'll remember these guys, Reg Vardy. Uh-huh. Peter Vardy still got garages up in Scotland.
He goes to my dad's church.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Very instrumental in bringing Billy Graham to the UK. We had a big meeting at the old Roker Park in Sunderland where my dad was the police liaison for that. And we broadcasted for hospital radio from our TV, from our radio booth at the ground. However, I digress, and we had the Ferrari customers were encouraged to bring their own cars and do some fast laps. And as I had a competition license in those days, we were helping them out, showing them, still have of course, still showing them the lines. So there was an eclectic mix of Ferraris and people who didn't mind throwing you the keys. The guy who threw me the keys to the F50 actually just threw me the keys and walked away and said, I'm going for a sandwich. Take it out. Tell me what you think.
Wow. That's a very Nick Mason thing to do. It wasn't Nick Mason, was it?
It wasn't. Most incredible thing. The F40 that I drove on the same day, you might as well have had a light switch for a throttle pedal, because it was everything or nothing. That was incredible. But the F50 was such a beautifully balanced machine. Somewhere I've got some photographs of that. Gary Dodds, who was our great photographer in the ALMS, early ALMS days, and pioneered the use of digital technology in motor racing. One of, if not the first, to take pictures over here on the digital format. Ooh. Problem on the Le Mans chicane, and it's one of the Duquesnes. It is the number 26 Mulnet car in sixth position in the class, so out of that big top five in LMP3, they've dropped off the pace a little bit. The two Mulnet cars have had all kinds of problems. That was an outlap for CR Cruz in that car, and once again caught out, I would think, Peter, by cold tyres, possibly with sun in eyes at the same time. But a little bit of expensive grass cutting there, and continues on, hoping that, sure, he was hoping against hope that the TV cameras hadn't caught that.
Oh,
he could have denied it.
Yeah, you always do. And there you go. The front splitter of Duquesne is very good for keeping your grass in good order as well. Speaking of front-engined Ferraris, and I doubt I'm going to get a shot. My fiancée, Lucy, her stepbrother, is about to get an F12, and I definitely will not be getting a shot of that. Maybe a passenger ride, possibly, but looking forward to seeing that when it arrives.
You need to work on your throttle application in automatics, I've told.
Has Joe been grassing me up, has he?
Yeah, always.
I drive him around all week and he thanks me with that.
Rob Chalmers said the 6R4 Clubmans were closer to what you'd now call an R5, as they're a bit sort of D-spec compared to the internationals. He said, my dad was offered a Clubman and parts kit for the British Rally Championship after he won the MG Maestro Challenge. You remember the MG Maestros? Turned it down for the X McRae Pro Drive International 6R4, and then the deal fell through.
It always does.
Oh, there's a story. That's a great story, Rob. Thank you very much. At IMSA Radio.
No.
Coming up to 8 o'clock in the morning, Peter, and this will be another one of those things to tick off. We've gone through the 6-hour mark, so the final interim points for Michelin Endurance Challenge have been awarded, and now it's the end, of course. The final points to be awarded later on. Ricky Taylor leads by 4.8 seconds to Elio Castro Neves, 36.1 to 35.6. So Elio's starting to try and trim that lead back just a little bit.
Absolutely, and we've only got a Watkins 6 hours of the Glen.
Sailing six hours of the Glen.
We have been having lots of hot dogs, so that's apt as well. But it's interesting, just as Matt Campbell gets those tyres up to working temperatures, a lot of the team's saying it could take 2 or 3 laps, particularly with the prototypes, to get them up to temperature. But Matt Campbell's dropped back to third in GTD Pro with the 62 Risi Competizione Ferrari. Daniel Serra going to second, but Patrick Pele, 12 and a half seconds to the good in GTD Pro. And in the context of GTD Pro, that's we said that, 3 seconds was a fortnight. So, 12 seconds is a couple of months in GTD Pro context. That's a big gap. So, KCMG will be praying that it stays green and they can keep that boogie going.
I think this has been a stunning outing for KCMG.
Oh, yeah.
They might not be as well known as some of the other teams. We've got a problem for the Lamborghini number 42. This is the all-white car. And that was Benja Hites that got into that car for the NTE machine. And was that his outlap? And where did he run wide there, Peter? Was that coming out of the pit?
It was around the tyre stacks that splits the...
Turn one and turn six.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption.
So when did that happen? That happened... Yeah, that was his first flying lap then. So he's just come to the end of his first flying lap, maybe just outbraking himself into turn one. It is continuing slowly from there. We'll see if we can pick him up. So difficult at the moment, looking across the track towards the infield section. Fine when they go down to the west end, but anything straight across. And then also at this time of day with the sun so low, you get the reflection from Lake Lloyd, which also at this height plays a part. I'm sort of hiding behind the monitor at the moment and using that as a sunscreen.
While we're on the subject of rally cars, and it's relevant to the driver of the 16 Wright Motorsport Porsche, Richard Leitz is a huge
massive
rally fan. In fact, he's a frustrated rally driver underneath his Porsche factory suit. He's got a great collection of rally cars. He bought a Mark IIX Escort from Gwyndaff Evans that was built by Phil Mills.
It's a left front puncture on that NTE Lamborghini. That's why he's going slowly. Very, very good piece of driving. Now, as I say, he's just got in that car. So is this hitting the curbs again on tyres that aren't up, not just to temperature, but more importantly to pressure? Starting to damage the left front wheel guard on that Lamborghini.
Ah, that's such a shame for that crew taking part here. Benja Hites, the young Chilean, 22-year-old Chilean, who has a Staffordshire Bull Terrier called Mika, named after Mika Häkkinen. And, of course, Marcus Paltala, the 44-year-old Finn, is in this driver lineup as well. And apparently Marcus said to me, he says, I beat your dog back in karting.
Yeah, he did as well. Oh, yeah, that was just... I think that's gone under braking as he's come down to turn one. And actually, that's a pretty decent save by Menjit. Beyond that, it's a very good save. He could have gone sailing on. He could have overbraked, locked it up, spun it. He's possibly just... I remember Stuart Hall telling me many years ago, we were doing a 24-hour race, talked about a 24-hour race at Silverstone. And I said, how fast do you have to go? Or how slowly do you have to go when you've got a flat tyre? He said, no matter how slow you think you're going, it's still too fast. Which I thought was very interesting. Yeah. Fortunately, there's a lot of apron here at Daytona International Speedway.
But that's not using it.
It's very
clever.
But that's not going to get any better.
No.
It's already started to take off the front bodywork. And again, drivers being warned by their engineer as you go out, new tyres, give it a lap or so before you start clobbering the curbs, particularly the GT cars. They tend to be a little more compliant on the curbs. And in fairness, the curbs here at Daytona are not particularly high and unsettling. There's one or two. The last right-hander in the Le Mans chicane. Now, that can be a little bit interesting. Yeah, he's using all of the apron. He's at the Le Mans chicane now.
He's doing a super job, actually, as Benjo. This is his into the first pit Rolex 24.
Into the pit lane for Mike Conway in the Whelan Engineering Cadillac. And that for Mike. So that looks like a full stop for those guys. Let me just check to see if that's about the right time, or are they expecting a yellow flag, possibly a full course yellow. That was 21-22 laps stint, so maybe a lap early. Worth getting that in though if we do go full course caution now. Now, I should say that everybody's around about the same laps underneath the Michelin tyres. Elio Castroneves actually has the fewest laps completed since his last pit stop. He's on his 20th at the moment. 22nd lap being worked at the moment by Ricky Taylor, who leads for Conyngham and Nolte Acura. And 21st for Tristan Vautier in the JDC Miller car. So let's see if they dive into the pits next time around. At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch with us. Full sunshine here. Track temperature already up 2 degrees from the last time that I mentioned it. As soon as you get a little bit of radiation on it, it holds on to the track temperature very well indeed. Got a very hardy group of spectators huddled around one of the gas burners in front of us and just in front and below us here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre.
I've got to keep checking myself and looking over towards Speedway Turn 3 and 4, where there's large amounts of white smoke pouring up into the atmosphere. I'm thinking, oh, who's had a problem there? But it's not. It's the campfires. It's everyone cooking breakfast. Wonderful atmosphere as the number 10 Wayne Taylor Racing Acura back on the move again. I didn't catch if there was a driver change or not. As always, Shea Adam will be on the case.
Who is that?
NTE Alexander Rossi taking the wheel of the
We might be seeing Valentino Rossi taking the wheel of a sports car.
Well,
signed up to work with Vincent Voss at WRT after a very, very impressive test. I was talking to Vincent. I had a long chat at Dubai with Vincent Voss about that, and he said he was very impressed with how he approached it, Rossi that is, and his pace. He's still got it. Shea Adam, just before we get to 8 o'clock in the morning, you've got the wounded NTE Lamborghini.
Yeah, very badly wounded, unfortunately. The tire has stayed on the rim, although the flailing about has damaged the bodywork at the front of this car. They're going to change the left side, the right side tires first before they examine the left sides. But the bodywork is flailing about. There are carbon shards hanging down. It's going to take a lot more than tape. I think they're going to have to remove these old pieces and put new ones on. It's going to be a lengthy stop for MTE.
Thank you for the update. A little movement again in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre as Bruce Jones and Johnny Palmer are installing themselves for the next 3 hours. And the racetrack, a very different complexion compared to when we last left it in full darkness. Now inside 6 hours still to go. So well and truly on the home stretch, but there is so much more still to happen, you sense, in the race, judging by the amount of action that has been hurled at us from the off, really. Caution count is now up to 15, totaling 90 laps. Really good fight on the infield section between two Mercedes as well. The 57 car in the GT Daytona class losing out to the 32 Mercedes, which is the GT Daytona car run by Gilbert Courtauld Motorsports. So 32 ahead of 57 is James Davison moving ahead, as there's a car off the road there, which is Alexander Rossi. So Rossi in second position in the Acura DPI, not quite getting the run through, well, around the back of the paddock, that was, through turn two. And briefly, off onto the grass, Bruce.
We've talked, Johnny, many a time about how just 24 hours does provide you with 24 hours in which to make small slip-ups, but under a bit of pressure there. And one of those, he got away with it, but going on the grass, you never know if you're going to pick up a flat tyre as a result of that. But the moment was saved. United Autosports Orica is just tucked in behind. But again, as we... through the night, those 13 and a bit hours of darkness, we were sort of praying for a bit of light, to not just to see the cars by in all their beauty, but sometimes it comes with low sun in the morning, and maybe that was a moment there. I have to work out the aspects as you go between turns two and three, but it was a strange one there for the number 10 car being bouncing across the grass. But I'm sure Wayne Taylor rather more relieved now to see it back on terra firma on the black stuff.
So there's a Mercedes on pit road. Che Adam watching this stop for Winward in.
And he can't see a thing, Johnny, because his windshield is completely blocked by his hood that has come up. Hopefully it didn't crack the windshield, because an IMSA regulation, if your windshield is cracked, you may not continue in any contest. So that's going to be the first thing that I go and look for. The 0-2 Cadillac Racing effort is back out on the track, although there was a lot of white smoke pouring out from that exhaust pipe as the driver took it back down the lane. And the other update I have for you is the number 4 Corvette has gone back to the garage. There is a non-tire related vibration coming from the car in some way, shape or form. So I'll scream back up when I see the windshield of this 57.
Just grabbing a chance again to witness what happened for Rossi on the infield section. He was battling with another prototype. Now that... didn't think that, no, certainly wasn't another Acura, so it wasn't Elio Castroneves. Mike Conway is now 2.4 seconds back, so...
I think, Johnny, that was all on his own. I think the prototype you saw in the background of the shot when he rejoined was just behind him anyhow. It was United Autosports Orica. Don't think they were battling, well, not for position, but anyhow, the car rejoined, but he was a good 30, 40 yards on the grass before he got back to the circuit, and I'm always concerned about things that nestle in the foliage that can puncture tyres. But so let's go down and hear what's happening. The 57 Winward Racing Mercedes, Shay's been very hot foot, got straight up to their pit area. What can you find, Shay?
Well, the good news, guys, is that the windshield does not have a crack. The bad news is that the passenger side roof is dented in quite seriously. Not sure what would have caused that, but the guys are putting lots of 100-mile-an-hour tape, although we're Daytona, so we do 100-mile-an-hour tape, on the nose to try and hold this hood down. It looks like the latch just broke.
Okay, well, they'll investigate, and a lot of the time they can't necessarily work out all that needs to be done until they see the car up close, so this will help the situation. And I'm sure after you worked out that the screen is good to go for a few more laps, that car will return to the track very shortly indeed.
Right, we saw a short while ago Alexander Rossi having an off-track moment. He's really got to get a move on in second place because Mike Conway took a second and a half out of him in that lap. He's just under a second down in third place. So Mike Conway driving the Whelan Engineering 31 Cadillac, getting closer and closer to Alexander Rossi. They're not that far off the lead of the race, just two and a bit seconds down on Helio Castroneves, but it's the Acura from car of number 60, the Meyershank Racing Acura, at the front of the pack. But again, this DPI battle has been really, really good. We started with seven. Halfway through the race, we still had seven on the lead lap. In the next hour, two of them unfolded. The number 48 entry from Ali Cadillac Racing had all its problems. And 0-1 as well, of course, then had all the looming Walloon problems for them. And that's taken them way down the order. But the top three, super close, covered by 3 seconds.
And Helio Castroneves still getting some heat into the Michelin tyres from his latest stop. He came in at the end of lap 5.66, so this is one and nearly two laps in to the next stint. Didn't change drivers, the 60 crew, Meyershank Racing with Kurt Bagajanian, so at least the driver in the form of Castroneves was in the groove as far as the latest track conditions are concerned, but being hunted down by Alexander Rossi, who is fresh to that car, only three laps in. Mike Conway, slightly longer. Well, he had a whole 21-lap stint, and this is now his fifth lap of the second portion of it. And closing in on Rossi, but the two of them ahead, or rather Helio Castroneves ahead of the two of them, is also being reeled in because Castroneves' tyres are still getting up to pressure.
The other one we've got to watch is the driver of the car in fourth place. It's Bath's very own Richard Westbrook, and he's lapping 2 to 3 seconds faster than any of those top three cars, so he's really, really flying for JDC Miller Motorsport. It's been a Cadillac that's shown fantastic pace through the night. The night has gone. What amazing sunrise shots we had over the circuit. And what really intrigued me, Johnny, was hearing towards the end of that commentary stint how John was saying the track's gone up another 2 degrees. I only just mentioned it. It's really rising super fast, and we cannot stress too much how difficult it was in the night. And I think it was explained best, I'm trying to think who said this, I think it was Elton Julian from Dragon Speed, saying it's actually as much as 10 laps until you can feel comfortable with your tyres. We saw all sorts of drivers having moments, drivers you didn't expect to, but the track was either at freezing or a fraction below. It's an astonishingly difficult situation for drivers to negotiate, and they're not accustomed to it in prototypes, not even particularly in GT cars, being sub-zero. Made it pretty entertaining, mind.
Been superb. I think it was a pretty frank conversation that Joe was having with Jules Gounon, actually, who made the comment about the 10 laps. And Jules...
Yeah, the comment from Elton Julian was
it's like driving in the rain.
Yeah, for the two laps, the track is dry, but it feels like you're driving in the wet.
But, that really stamped home the difficulty of it, because the GT cars are doing 30 laps on a stint. So for the first third of that, you have next to no control of the car and feel like you're chasing your tail as far as getting pressures to the right area were concerned. Not necessarily all about temperature, but just the amount of air and its consistency in each of the four tyres. Little bit wide there for the Era Motorsport LMP2 car. That provided the way through for Mike Conway in the 31. And the 31 then still running in third, Alexander Rossi in second, and the lead is with Helio Castroneves as we go to Andrew Marriott, who is in the pit lane.
Yeah, so nice and bright this morning. Yeah, I'm down at the 42 car, the NTE Lamborghini, and obviously they're pretty dispirited down here. The left front wing is missing. They're just checking the bodywork, see if they can run without that bit of wing. But obviously this car has had a lot of problems, so I'm not sure it's going to be going back on the lane anytime soon. But back to you, Bruce and Johnny.
The other thing I noticed, though, was that Philip Ellis has driven his 57 Mercedes behind the pit wall and into the garage for Windward Racing. So a car that was very much in contention for a watch this year has steadily dropped down the order, I'm afraid to say. They are now four laps away from Jordan Pepper's class-leading McLaren for Inception Racing. So the GT Daytona field The leaders are on lap 5.33, but Philip Ellis is going to lose more time, having just done 528 laps, and the car going through the gap in the wall back to the garage and back to the team.
Wow, the top three cars in the race, 22 thousandths of a second between first and second last time around. Helio Castroneves hanging on the front as under this attack from Alexander Rossi. He was got 1.4 seconds to the good over Mike Conway. So let's call it under 1.5 seconds for the top three. That's half what it was just two laps ago. But it's still Marshank Racing leading with their Acura. And it's big. The big question, Johnny, is how long can Helio hang on out there? But the traffic actually has helped him a little bit the last lap, so he's bought a bit of time, but he is the hunted.
Yeah, and very good speed, more so from, I was going to say Mike Conway, although that was not the case the last time around. Rossi getting into his stride as well, 136.9 from Alexander Rossi, and Mike Conway's time was 0.7 of a second slower than that, but it's yinning and yanging between the second and third place cars, depending on who is quickest with each lap. Richard Westbrook, not too shabby either, but he's 10 seconds away from joining that scrap for second, effectively the scrap for the lead, as the top three cars work their way through turn two and on towards the International Horseshoe, the tricky right-hander, particularly when you've got some slower moving LMP2 traffic to think about. And Castroneves beat that into the International Horseshoe, whereas Rossi needed to just cut into line and wait for the chance to get through on the exit, which he's now done. Question of whether to go high or low, though, every single time into the Western Horseshoe. And again, Helio Castroneves chose the right thing to do there, whereas it's not Rossi being indecisive, it's purely where he's finding this LMP2 traffic, Bruce.
Yeah, totally. We saw that as evening turned to fall of night yesterday. About how you gamble, you think, I'll go down the inside line, they'll be on the outside, that's fine. And then the car in front, particularly into turn one, changes its mind. And we saw Richard Westbrook, I seem to remember, losing the lead. Philip Albuquerque went to the outside. And who was in behind? Kevin Magnussen. So suddenly, right, what was the lead became second, became third. Just guessing wrong. Now, someone who's moving super fast up and down the pit lane is our very own Andrew Marriott. Andrew, kick it off.
Yeah, I got Tom down here in Inception Racing. Tom, well, pretty good at the moment.
Yeah, it's all going really well. Everyone's really happy. Yes, really, really looking forward to the last few hours as we get, the sun comes up here.
Tom, when I first met you, you were basically an intern working on Johnny Molan's car, Ferrari. You've come a long way since then.
Yeah, the progress has been great. It's been good to climb up the ladder in the motorsport world and visit different teams and work my way up the different cars and classes. It's great to be here in America.
Any problems with McLaren? Is it running perfectly? We're keeping our fingers crossed.
Yeah, we're nursing a little gearbox issue, but we're hoping it will last out until the end. All looking okay at the moment.
We've got Jordan Pepper in the car at the moment, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely mega. His pace is amazing. We're in the lead, we're pulling away. He's a mega driver.
Fantastic. Got Ollie Milroy, of course, in the car as well.
Yes, yeah. Our mega silver as well, and Frederick as well. And even Brendan, he's not even, you know, he's classed as the AM driver, but he hasn't been slowing us down all weekend. His pace, all of their pace has been really good.
Terrific. Well, we might have a surprise McLaren victory here then in the category.
Well, let us see. Won't be a surprise now you've announced it, Andrew. But anyhow, it's good to see Inception Racing, who really are going to push on the American scene in 2022, having such a good, solid first crack here. And it's like the big one as well, the Daytona 24. But certainly I'll pick up on the Jordan Pepper issue. I've been, whenever, you know, sometimes when you go to a circuit, you get to see a driver in far more detail than you're just in the commentary box, if you get a chance to get down on the corner. And I did that at Kyle Army a few years ago with Jordan Pepper. Okay, home ground. All his racing career pretty much has been done in Europe, but I was deeply impressed, and I can understand fully why Inception Racing have been very excited to have him on board. There they are, leading the class. 25th place overall, but importantly to them, nearly 10 seconds to good, just under 9 seconds actually, at the head of the GTD class, being followed by the Wright Motorsports Porsche that's there the whole time. That's in second place in class with Richard Leitz at the wheel. Yes, that Richard Leitz, Mr. Porsche, Richard Leitz. So they won't be losing out in traffic with him.
Andrew Marriott will probably put me right here, but I reckon that was Tom Sander from Optimum Motorsport, or Inception Racing, of course, as they are entered this weekend for Brendan Reeves' team, but Tom has been really on the up ever since he joined the team a good few years ago now, and has turned into a real expert engineer with the crew. And found an interesting article from the technical director at Optimum Motorsport on their website from Ian Smith, who commends Tom Sander, Alex Fleming, Rob Cortinage as well, who have been the ones ascending the ladder and getting that team into such a good position. So well done, boys. Long may it continue. Let's see how they get on after another 5.5 hours. Will they still be in the mixture? 1.8 seconds the lead for Elio Castroneves. Again, a question of him weathering the storm, because Alex Rossi got it down to well within half a second, and it's now almost quadrupled since we last mentioned that. On to lap 574, and Castroneves, he's building this advantage again through his decisions in the traffic. And not to say, as once more, that Rossi and Conway's decisions are particularly shabby, but it's a mixture of luck and also knowing where to take the risks, I think, you know, that the kind of percentage moves that Castroneves has been so good at through the years.
Well, entirely so. There is the other element that it's also a question of, we might have a slightly artificial picture. The times that we're watching when the cars are on camera might just work very much his way, but he could then suddenly have that sort of the opposite side, opposite face of the coin. But he certainly works it very well indeed. It's come down a little bit, 0.2 of a second, have been clawed back by Alexander Rossi, but it's still Marshank racing. Car number 60, Elio Castroneves, who's he's not in the swan song of his career. He's just never got his foot off the throttle. He's just and last year, of course, for him was fabulous with that further Indy 500 win. But he is working the traffic absolutely beautifully.
But a few moments ago, he had to be massively on the defensive through the tri-oval. Two Acuras going at it, hammer and tong. And a little bit of weaving there from Elio Castroneves was necessary to fend off Alexander Rossi, who I'm sure probably wasn't too happy about that. Forced Rossi to the outside line as they whipped across the stripe. And then really guiding Rossi to the more awkward approach to turn one, which he couldn't do anything with, i.e. the outside line. And since then, that gap has opened up.
Well, you're not going to open the door on the inside, say, after you, Claude, or in your case, Alexander. But, yeah, a little bit interesting in there. But really, the exciting times for me, it's not... Traffic does sort of give this ebb and flow, but it's when they've just got no traffic around them. And you can see the difference in their approach. It's also the life they've got left in their tyres. We've been banging on about tyres, mainly through the night because they were so cold they couldn't get any grip. But now with rising temperatures, it's a different equation. And we did also spot, I know, of course, 60 and 10 are both Acuras, but through the night, the difference around the track between the Acuras that were brilliant on the infield corners and seemed to have loads of traction, then as soon as it got out onto the banking, the speeds went up, the Cadillacs definitely had the legs. So lap after lap, coming over the start-finish line, you'd see the likes of Philip Albuquerque, etc., going around the outside. Can they make the move? Brilliant. I love it when you've got two cars of a similar lap time but different ways of delivering it.
And that's the exciting prospect for next year and the beyond, with many more manufacturers entering the fray in LMDH, and a careful situation that the officials will have to be in as far as balancing those rather different cars with some massive manufacturers. And now up the inside, a great move from Mike Conway to wrestle second place away from Alexander Rossi. So Rossi, from attacking and really taking the fight to Elio Castroneves to lever the race lead away from him, he's now having to defend. Didn't quite manage to do it successfully into the Le Mans chicane. But now on the high side, the Acura getting good drive off that chicane, because Conway's route through there was slightly compromised, I reckon. Can Conway stay to the inside? That straight line speed from the Acura does not look too shabby into turn one. But then the Cadillac should be pretty good off turn one, and also the Western Horseshoe, as it's been so through the night.
Yeah, very much a case there. You didn't see the true straight line speed or the speed around the banking of the Cadillac. The compromised line coming out of the Le Mans chicane, the newly renamed Le Mans chicane. But and it definitely compromised, but now getting it together and pulling away in that new second place, Mike Conway, the Whelan Engineering car. But again, I'd like to see them have a clean entry, both of them out of the Le Mans chicane this time around, and then we can gauge the true difference around the banked part of the circuit where the Cadillac really seems to find its form. But for now, the Acura is back to third place and really struggling to get any
power down at all
and get the car to turn in. Just had no grip turning into turn six whatsoever.
But I think that was a wiggle from the rear, which then manifested itself in understeer and very nearly found his way off to the grass. As I mentioned, probably 5-10 minutes ago, Philip Ellis disappeared now behind the wall. Well, he has re-emerged in the 57 Windward Racing car, so that car's back out on track, 36th position overall. Let's get to another word from Andrew in the pits.
Yeah, I'm down at AF Corsa. I've got Simon Mann with me. Simon, how was the night for you?
Yeah, we just tried to get through the night with no trouble. But so far, so good. And now we just focus on the end of the race.
You were putting in some blistering lap times yesterday afternoon, I know.
Sorry?
You were putting in some very quick times yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, this year the pace is even higher than last year, so... we're just trying to do our race, and then we'll see where we are at the end.
Because you've grown up with racing. Your father, Peter, has been racing for AF Corsa for many years.
Yeah, my dad has done this race twice, so it's cool to be here. Second generation.
Absolutely. Are you going to get back in the car?
Yeah, I have one more stint to do today.
Thanks, enjoy it. Thanks, Simon Mann at AF Corsa.
And joined by Luis Perez Compank, Niklas Nielsen, Tony Villander in that number 21 Ferrari 488. Not counting any chickens just yet by the sounds of things. Simon Mann, and eager not to lose focus ahead of that final stint. We're about two-thirds of the way through the current run for the GT Daytona Pro cars, but there is another car heading now. Is that the one that came in not too long ago with a front left puncture, the 42 Lamborghini Bruce?
It's the NTE Sport, and it's certainly looking a whole lot tidier. See if we had a full set of bodywork on the front end of that car, but that's going to work its way out of the garages in the paddock back into the pit lane. But very unfortunate when it came in, because the bodywork really was being battered by that front left puncture.
So the car was it was a real struggle to get it into pit lane at the required speed. Not entirely sure what caused that puncture. It's more unusual to have a front tyre go on a rear wheel drive GT car and a left front left as well. So that suggests maybe it's picked up some debris or hammered the curbs a little bit too hard during the stint to cause that puncture, rather than it being general tyre wear. But back to the front, and 12 laps in for Elio Castroneves. Mike Conway now having squeezed into second place. Mike's car is like to be a tad lighter than Elio's, bearing in mind it was fueled three laps before the Brazilians. And the average lap speed slightly favouring the Brit then across his 15 laps, but only by a tenth of a second. But that will accumulate nicely, therefore gaining 1.5 seconds over this stint on the race leader. And even more so now he's in front of Alexander Rossi, because Rossi's time, not in the 135s on average. He's about a second slower, in fact, than the leading car of Elio Castroneves. We'll go back to Andrew Marriott, because you've managed to find a certain former World Touring Car champion and a bit of a maestro around this place as well, Andy Prio.
Yeah, Andy's with me here, and bringing me some concerning news about your son, Seb.
Yeah, he's had a tough night. He appears to have like a neurovirus or a poisoning of some sort. So he's been quite ill all night. He's fighting really hard, driving the three stints just late into the evening. He was ill the whole way through, but carried on. And again today he's just not himself, but he's doing some good laps and fighting hard.
Of course, he's been leading at MP3 for a while, but not at the moment. Been leading at MP3 for a while, but not at the moment, but it's still a battle out there.
Yeah, it's a little bit, we're out of sync a little bit, and we're in it. The guys here are doing a fantastic job. We've got four great drivers, three really good, you know, guys like Barbosa, and the two youngsters are flying. So it's a strong team, and the team are doing a great job. Pit stops, everything running well. So just got to stay up there and keep pushing.
Andy, how is it for you watching rather than racing?
Oh, it's really nice to watch the young guys come through. And obviously, I'd love to be driving, but I'm really happy where I have been with my career, and enjoying watching Seb come through, and still working hard with Multimatic, doing lots of driving and development. So I'm still getting my time in the cockpit.
You think you'll be racing? You might be terrorising some historic boys soon.
Absolutely. Definitely be doing Goodwood again. And you never know with Larry Holt. There's always a chance to race something. So just trying to keep focused on Seb and work hard away from the track.
Yeah, congratulations. Doing a fantastic job. I interviewed him earlier. Just like you, Andy. He's so eloquent.
Thank you. I'm really proud of him today because he's not well. He's been very ill. But he's driven with a lot of determination.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew. Great to hear from Andy Priaulx, and you know, best of wishes for Seb Priaulx, who's the son who was so impressive in winning the North American Porsche Cup last year when it stepped up to a new level. But the racing at the front of this field really is at a new level. Elio Castroneves and Mike Conway were side by side, either side and around the Pfaff Motorsport Porsche just at that end of that interview. I almost wanted to cut in, the racing was so good there, but great to hear that interview from Andy Priaulx. But still the lead stays with Elio Castroneves, but he has been hunted down. There was 23 thousandths of a second. It was his margin. That's all over Mike Conway as they headed down to turn one. Elio still in front, but Mike Conway's got the speed. And Alexander Rossi's really fallen off their tail, overtaken, what, about three or four laps ago. He's 5 and a bit seconds down on that second place now. And Richard Westbrook is edging closer. And let's go down to Andrew, who's absolutely prodigious. He's now got Earl Bamber, if I heard rightly. Oh, Farnbacher, sorry. Chop, chop.
No, not down that end yet. I've got Mario Farnbacher here in the Acura, the only GT Acura. How's the night been for you?
Quite difficult. We struggled with a lot of understeer. Our jacks broke, so we need to double stint every time our tyres. Because we would have lost so much time changing tyres. So we use a jack lift to change the tire.
Old-fashioned way.
Yeah, similar to NASCAR, but it's a big different disadvantage compared to the other guys right now for us.
This car's got a lot of potential, though.
It does, but if things like this happens, you know, it's not under your control in the end. We tried to maximize everything what we can do right now, but we just try to take a risk right now. And we haven't changed brakes, for example, so let's see.
Thanks for the younger Farnbacher then. A challenging day.
Sounds like it. And yes, it's back to the old days, so it's kind of a real challenge to be able to do. But as the point is made, everybody else has got an advantage every single pit stop, and that is going to mount up and really dent the confidence. But they'll plough on and see how they get in the next couple of hours, whether that changes. Massive battle again on for the race lead. I mentioned that Mike Conway was taking strips out of Alexander Rossi in the earlier scrap for second. Well, now he's made short work of the three-second gap or so as it stood to the race leader, Elio Castroneves. One thing catching, another getting by, particularly because Elio Castroneves just seems to be able to decompartmentalise the fact that even though he's got a car right on his tail, he can fully focus on the road in front. But this is a bigger challenge for me than it was versus Rossi 5 minutes ago, Bruce.
Yeah, definitely. Almost every corner you can see Mike Conway just, even if he's not serious about going up the inside, he's having a look, trying to keep Elio Castroneves anywhere apart from comfortable. Out of turn three they go, and it's still Elio Castroneves leading in that to Acura car number 60 from Meyershank Racing. But Mike Conway in the Whelan Engineering Cadillac just has the pace at every point around the track. But you know, Elio's been round the block a few times. He knows how to drive a wide car if need be. But again, it's multi-class racing. You've got different chicanes up ahead of you. I'm talking about cars that aren't doing anything wrong, but they're running at a different pace. So out of turn 6 and 7 and up onto the banking they go. It's still the Marshank racing car. Still pretty much the same margin as it was over the start-finish line. 0.4 of a second. And another lap gone, another lap in which Alexander Rossi is falling away from their pace. He's 6.3 seconds back, only 1.7 seconds clear of Richard Westbrook. I said Westbrook was starting to close up, so the number 10 being caught, that's the Acura with Rossi on board and Richard Westbrook catching it in the JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac. But meanwhile up front, it's nip and it's tuck, but it's still just advantage Elio Castroneves. Great racing.
So where is the race leading Acura getting the advantage in time? I still think the straight line speed of the Acura is very, very good and arguably at some times better than the Cadillac, but the Cadillac's great off the slower speed corners. So this is where the Caddy will come into its own. On the braking, very decent. The drive off the corner though, it closes once more on the pink and white number 60 out front. And if Conway can get it nice and tight into the apex, the door's left very wide open by Elio Castroneves. So he's encouraged or confident that he can get some good speed off the lower corner at International Horseshoe. There's an LMP3 car to deal with. They will both go on the high side of that. And then an LMP2 car next up. Or is that... No, it's another LMP3, I think, at Duquesne this time around. No, it's not. It's one of the recovering Chip Ganassi racing cars, I beg your pardon, and they will go side by side now. Will the 60 car and the 31, and very easily indeed, Mike Conway picks off Elio Castroneves out of turn 6. Again, all about that drive. Has the gap between the two, is it going to come down? Because Castroneves will get very close just before the Le Mans chicane, but not close enough. Conway in his element.
Totally. He had to guess which way to go, and suddenly the door was open for him. He guessed right, and he had the pace to go past anyhow, but it was a real question of if Elio Castroneves was going to leave a gap for that, and unfortunately for him, he did, and the opportunity was grabbed with both hands. And again, you see that, and you see why Mike Conway is a world endurance champion. But that was really, really strong. And now I think we've got a few cars coming into the pits ahead of them. In fact, Mike Conway is the one from that group who dives into the pit, so he proved his point. He took the lead. Then he came into the pits. It looks like a standard pit stop. No driver change required. Thank you very much.
So, technically speaking, again, Conway, we had the situation earlier on in the race where he didn't actually cross the line as the race leader. So it can't be counted as officially as a lead change. The car that was really foxing me earlier on that lap is the 01, which is touring its way into pit lane. It's Renger van der Zande at the wheel, 29th overall for this DPI car.
Well, you can tell it's had a problem because it was right on the pace up to the midpoint in the race, and the 13th hour was unlucky for them. That's when the problems started. And the 01 car, which at first they thought it was just an alternator problem. Do you remember? They were replacing that, and then they realised that the new one was fine, the old one was actually fine. The problem was the wiring loom, and that's why they're a mere 41 laps in arrears, and they're going to lose probably another half lap or so as Renger van der Zande, who's had such success here at Daytona, just limps it in.
At least he has made it back though, and kept out of the way just about of the two leaders as they were trying to get around the outside of turn 6 and up onto speedway turn 1. That did jumble the order between Conway and Castroneves. Mike Conway staying on board then. Lost, obviously, a bit of time during the pit stop, but those that are now well ahead of him on the road will also have to make their stops in good time. 5 seconds, the difference between Castroneves and Rossi. So that's, again, representative of Alexander Rossi just losing a bit of speed for whatever reason in the second of the Acuras. Might be that car number 10 is dialed in to be stronger, though, later on in each of the stints. So as the car gets lighter, it becomes easier to produce a lap time in it, in the number 10. So Conway rejoining into third place. Make that fourth place as Richard Westbrook goes through the next timing loop and is up to third position. 6.3 seconds adrift of Elio Castroneves. Just under 5 hours and 10 minutes to go, and we're going straight back to the pit lane to Andrew Marriott.
Yeah, we're going to a car which is running really well, the Tower Orica. I've got Rui Andrade here, the only Angolan driver in the race.
Hi. Yeah, it's been an exciting race so far. I just finished my work, gave the car off to Louis in P2. It's looking good at the moment. Obviously, with the yellows and the safety cars, anything can happen, but we're looking strong so far.
Now, I'm old enough to remember that they have had racing in your country.
Yeah, yeah. I think in the 70s or 60s they had
Decent sports cars, actually.
Yeah, they had some sports cars racing. Obviously, we don't have any real tracks. So a lot of street circuits, but obviously nothing compared to this.
Well, excellent. The car's still running very strongly then.
Yeah, yeah. We had a very strong night stint. We came back from 2 laps down to take the lead. Now, obviously, it's very close with the Dragon car. They're looking very strong as well. We might need a little bit of luck with yellows, but anything can happen, and we're looking good so far.
Now, previously, you've been racing quite a lot of single-seaters, haven't you?
Yes, last year was my first year in P2. We were ELMS champions in the Pro-Am, so it was a very strong year for us. And now, building up on that, my first time in Daytona, I'm loving it. The circuit is amazing, the people are amazing. It's a great atmosphere, and really enjoying it.
But when you drive in the first time, I remember when I came a long, long time ago, it's just so impressive. You drive through that tunnel and the place is so huge.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've never seen something like this. It's massive. And just the support that the people here show, you know, like the fans came out, and it's great. You don't see nothing like this anywhere else.
Andrew, thanks very much. Well, Angola's racing driver.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Could I throw one back to you? I seem to remember photos from the sports car races that happened in that series that went around Southern Africa back in the mid-70s. Was there a temporary circuit in Angola where a bridge collapsed across, a pedestrian bridge collapsed onto the circuit? Do you remember that?
Absolutely right. Yes, it did. And there was a lot of British competitors, actually, I think, with Chevrons and so on. At the time, somebody told me the whole story when I was working for Motoring News. I've forgotten the details of it, but a bridge did collapse and stop the race. I mean, that's a one-off.
I think it is. We've had trees down at Bathurst in the past and various other incidents or blockages, but not quite heard of a bridge before, so that's a new one on me as well. There'll be reports somewhere, no doubt. Marriott's report, hidden away somewhere on the internet, perhaps. Who knows?
Well, in fact, I'm sure I picked that out of a book that I think Andrew edited.
Oh, there you go.
As long as Andrew did the John Player special book of motor racing back in the mid-1970s. But I'm sure I've seen a picture. It's in my mind, anyhow. Mm. At least Andrew hasn't said, no, you're talking complete nonsense, which is very kind of him.
Back on the track is the 01. So this car, which was struggling with the alternator failure, or the belt that it threw a belt that controlled that part of the car, but Renger van der Zander stayed on board. He was slow in to the latest stop, but this is much more like it in terms of pace now. Plenty of kerb right and left through the switchback behind the paddock and pit lane. And arriving at the Le Mans chicane, hurling it in there was Elio Castroneves, happy to take a bit of air. In fact, so hard is he pushing. 134.7 last time around. Mike Conway into second now, with Rossi and Westbrook having made their stop. So they're best part of a minute and a half adrift. But it means, of course, Elio Castroneves also owes us a latest pit stop. And the pink and white Sirius XM sponsored Acura appearing on pit road now. And down to the correct speed limit, of course, making sure that you don't pick up a very clumsy penalty, just as if you were overspeeding in the pit lane, which is very easy to do indeed. But no issues there for the 60. And it will get a new set of Michelin tyres, Bruce Jones.
Right, life doesn't always work this way. Ask and you shall get. Ask you often don't get. But how about this? Very quick on the Twitter world. RDV69, thank you very much. We had a race at Huambo, Angola, in 1974, the Nova Lisboa 6 Hours. The formation lap was a bit eventful when the pedestrian bridge collapsed across the track. You can find it on YouTube if you choose to look. But there we have it. Thank you very much indeed. History as it's revisited.
Yeah, very good. I'm impressed with, I never cease to be amazed, really, with the amount of knowledge that is out there on the collective. Hope you have been in for as much of the duration as possible. You're forgiven for taking 2 or 3 hours, Kip, but so many have not, and congratulations to you if you've made it this far. Just a little over 5 hours still to go. That is an awful lot more pit stops, an awful lot more stints in the DPI category to get these cars home. And here, with more news from the pits, is Andrew Marriott.
Yeah, well, I've got Jordan Taylor with me. Jordan's about to get in the car. He's got his crash helmet on, but hopefully he can hear me. Jordan, it's been a pretty challenging old 24 hours for you guys.
Yeah, it's definitely been a bit frustrating, but, you know, we had our issue last night. We've been running strong since then, so right now we're just trying to run laps, make up positions with the Trichard, and, we've got a long year ahead of us with the championship, so we're trying to maximize the points.
Is the car running okay now?
Yep, it is. I'm about to hop in now.
He's got
to
go in! He's got to go in the car, so team member came and grabbed him, and there we are. He'll be in the car in just a few moments' time.
Well, well done for persisting to have a quick word with Jordan just before he was taken away there. Great to grab drivers either moments before or moments after they're in or out of a car to get the real emotion.
Do you know how Andrew keeps them there? He treads on one of their feet.
Yeah. That old chestnut, the old trick that he's been
old
trying
salesman's to... technique there.
Door stopping them and preventing or shutting off the route to the car. But they obviously sent a couple of members of the team to maybe just to hustle Andrew away rather than Jordan. Ferrari out of the Le Mans chicane. Now, how is the Risi Competizione car getting on? GT Daytona Pro for Alessandro Pierguidi, fifth position. Should become fourth fairly shortly because Jack Hawksworth in the Vassar Sullivan Lexus has pitted just ahead. And assuming that Alessandro stays out for another lap, he will take fourth position. It will actually be third, potentially, because Patrick Pile is in for the race lead of GT Daytona Pro as well.
That's been one of the interesting things in that grouping, because the KCMG Porsche in the early running wasn't anywhere in particular. And has managed to, in the latter part of the race, really sort of steer clear of trouble. And as I'm saying that, you look at the screens and the 3-4 abreast going out between turn one and turn two. It's only a very short drag before the track changes angle and course all over again. And I think we had if we had five cars, we probably had one from each of the classes. That's how we like it at Daytona. But there are moments, JP, where it just makes you draw your breath in and wince in advance of something you hope is not going to happen, but the odds are very much that it will.
I just looked at that incident in isolation and thought the stakes that were involved there, that, you know, the slightest glance on any of those cars might have spelt disaster, and they are having to deal with this every 90 seconds. Slightly longer in a GT car, I appreciate, a minute and 45, but Pierguidi approaching turn one just thought, I'm going to go to the outside and hope that I clear all of this and no one drives into me. Amazingly, that happened. It just worked perfectly, and that's the calibre of all of the drivers involved, that they're going as fast as they can, but equally having to look out for one another and the different performance specs of the various cars and classes.
Well, you know what? It's been an incredible last few years for Alessandro Pierguidi, but going around the outside is something he does, and he went around the outside on the final lap in the driving range at Blanchimont in the Spa 24 Hours to wrestle victory from the WR2 Audi team, and there was absolutely nothing Dries Van Tor could do about it. It was they were on different tyres at that point in the race, but everyone in the pit lane was going, oh my god, they're about to be out of the race, pair of them. But he was astonishing. He went to the outside and there was no way back from there. He was going around the outside, and if you haven't seen that, take a look for that on YouTube. Final lap 2021 Spa 24 Hours, and you can understand why Ferrari, they got their claws into Alessandro Pierguidi. They don't want to release him.
No. Well, this weekend the 62 car combines four of their regular FIA World Endurance Championship regulars, but in one car, so it becomes an even stronger entity in the 62 machine.